I know the Greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. I'm sure that's your desire. We're not what we used to be. That's the wonderful thing. But we're pressing on. Like Paul says, I've not yet attained. But we press on that we may apprehend that to which Christ apprehended us. He called us for a purpose. And we just say like Jesus himself, Father, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. So we do greet you, everybody who's come. We greet the visitors. It's wonderful to be in his house. Just a couple of announcements before we introduce Brother George, if you wouldn't mind putting announcements. So we've got a few announcements here. It's next Saturday. We have communion service. So it's Saturday, 6 o'clock. So just to let saints be forewarned, no service on Friday. Communion service and food washing next week on Saturday. And a reminder that June the 30th, July the 1st, that's 3 weekends' time. We've got our family meetings with Brother Barry Coffey. So let's keep those in prayer. May the Lord help us minister an entrance to us into a deeper walk with his word concerning family relations, children, and so forth. I think he'll cover some things on finances as well. So I'm really expecting the Lord to help us at that time. Because the key is to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. To walk in the principles of the word, that's where all the problems or overcome. So let's pray for those meetings. Just wanted to show a couple of photos here as well from the testimony that Brother Brian gave last week and Sister Deirdre. Just after church last week, we had a look at the photos at Brother George's house of the horse that was prayed for. And I really found the photos were so outstanding, I thought I'd put them on for you here. This is the horse with a broken leg. And you can see the horse couldn't walk on its broken leg. And I just wanted to show you, this photo is maybe a bit better. And you can see how much that leg is broken. If you really look at a close-up of that picture, it's an amazing thing. And to those who weren't here last week, Brother Brian and Sister Deirdre, they live next door to a field where these horses are. And I think there was another horse that had broken its leg, had to be put down. And this horse also broke its leg, and the farmer wanted to put this horse down. And then the sister... Yes, sister? They were going to take it away. That's right. So the sister, she really had a burden inside of her heart to say, no. This is a real young, lovely horse. There's no need for this thing to be put down. So she spoke to the farmer and said, would you mind if I just lay hands on the horse? And give it a few days, and let's see what the Lord will do. And then you can see it there, the broken leg. And this is the horse now. Amen. The horse is perfectly well. Amen. Now, friends, that is wonderful. People will say, what about horses? Jesus said, your Father knows every sparrow that falls. You know, his eye is on the sparrow, friends. I think of the prophet with the opossum. Imagine, the Lord sending an opossum for prayer. I had a testimony of a dog we had that was so sick once when he came from a holiday. Brother David knows the testimony. It was a dog that I loved so much, somebody had given it to me. I came home from holiday, the dog was so sick, my parents didn't know what to do. I went to the brothers, around the one brother's apartment for fellowship. We had prayer afterwards. I said, please, brothers, pray for my dog. The one brother laughed. I said, don't laugh, bro. I said, John Wesley prayed for his horse. Exactly the same as this. Brother Mwendapoli, a Zambian brother, he got in the spirit of prayer. He prayed, and I knew all is well. I got home, the dog was perfectly well. The Lord cares for his creation, friends. That's a wonderful thing. So that is the horse there. So I just wanted to show those photos because that is a mighty thing the Lord did. And I believe he did it for our brother Brian to really encourage his faith to believe, especially when the devil came and knocked him down with sickness week and put him in the hospital. But he could see if the Lord could do it for a horse, the Lord indeed could do it for him. So we do thank the Lord for that. Amen. Just want to come to the main attraction now, which is the Word. That's what we've gathered here for. To those who don't know, Brother George Martin is with us. Brother George Martin is a precious friend. He's one of the old oak trees of the message. He's not so old, but he's an oak tree. He's one of those brothers you can go and sit and fellowship with, and he can draw forth wonderful, wonderful riches and spiritual nuggets. Because he's been around in the Word and he's a real, real spiritual student of the Word. He's a spiritual Gamaliel in the message. And it's really fine to sit at his feet for a season and to draw some of the wisdom. The Bible says wisdom in the heart of a man is like a deep well, but a wise man will draw it out. You know, so it's a wonderful thing. We're just really desiring today to draw forth from the gift God has put inside of him. And may the Lord bless us. Brother George is from Pretoria. That's where his church is from. He travels a lot. And it's really wonderful. Second time he's been here. We really pray it won't be the last, bro. Whensoever you're free, whenever you're near, if the Lord can lead us our way here. So we just want to give over to the brother. Take your liberty, take your time, and may God's will be done.
Good morning, friends. I was blessed with a testimony of the horse. And I'm happy that Brother Barry Coffey is coming to be addressing questions of marriage, questions of finances. Amen. Just before we read the word, there was this brother, I won't say from what country he was. I don't want to seem like we are disparaging some nationalities. Amen. But he never told his wife, I love you, in 25 years. But brothers around him would be saying to their wives, I love you. They would be squeezing a hand. So one day, the wife said, but why don't you never tell me you love me? You never squeeze my hand. He said, listen here, woman. 25 years ago when I married you, I told you I love you. Amen. If I've changed my mind, I'll tell you. Amen. I hope, brothers, you're not like that. And if you are, may the Lord bless Brother Barry to get you right. on the issues of finances, there was also this brother. He would never give his wife spending money. Never. Only when she threatens to pack her bags and go home, he gives a bus fare. Brothers, don't be like that. So we'll pray for our brother Barry when he comes to be a blessing to you. Once more, stay with the pastor and you will grow faster. Beware of any lone ranger. They are a danger. Thank you, Brother Andrew, for the trust you've placed in me, that I'll come in the pulpit and not hurt but bless. We have come to bless, not to stress. I've come with an olive leaf in my beak. As I go from church to church, it is not my nature to sow discord, but to try to be a blessing to the bride of Jesus. Shall we turn our Bibles to Matthew 23:39? Pastor told me to take my time this morning. I won't take you round and round and round in the wilderness for 40 years, but I'll try to get you from point A to point Z. Matthew 23:39. We are going to teach a little bit this morning. Notice the prophetic words of our Lord Jesus as concerning the message returning to the Jews. Matthew 23:39. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In this scripture, he's admitting that they have seen him, but they don't understand him. But there will come a time when they shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. John 12:13, we are going to identify the first fulfillment of that prophecy in Jesus' time. The first fulfillment. So there are two parts to that prophecy. John 12:13. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem before the crucifixion, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna. That word in Hebrew means save us, Lord. Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. Our last scripture, Romans 11:23. Romans 11:23, Paul caught on to the mystery, and he knew that the Jews were blinded at the first, and that God will open their eyes at the second. And he wrote, Romans 11:23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Amen. Father, we thank you for the songs that have been sung. Hallelujah. Truly, Lord, you know my heart. The singing in this church has blessed me tremendously. You continue to bless them, the pastor, the helps, the governments, his family, his dear wife, Lord, the musicians, one and all. And I pray this morning, arrest my human spirit so that the Holy Spirit may have preeminence. Bless your word, which is already blessed, but bless it to our hearts, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all shall agree by saying, amen. Amen. You may enjoy the comfort of your seats while I remain standing. I'd like to take a title, and it'll be in the Jewish language, and I'm not trying to be smart. It is that very same scripture you've read. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Baruch Abba B'Hashem Adonai. My travels to the land of Israel have truly fulfilled to me what the prophet already said. He said, a visit to the land of Israel makes the Bible a new book to you. Amen. It certainly has for me. I trust that in the teaching this morning, some of these things will come through. When the Lord said to Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad." And it's beautiful to know that Brother Branham didn't come teaching a trinity. A trinity of offices, yes, but not a trinity of persons. Because he came in the mold of the same Old Testament prophets, amen. I was fellowshipping with the pastor about the number 500. And of course, I'm using this occasion to say, if the pastor invites me again, I would like to come and do some of these numbers in Scripture. Amen. The number 500 has stumbled many people in the message. When Brother Branham said Enoch walked with God 500 years, Amen. The scholars in the message, I emphasize, the scholars in the message thought it was a slip of the tongue. Others even started a doctrine. Do you stand with the prophet or do you stand with the Bible? When that came into my church, I said, I stand with both. Amen. And some people thought, oh no. You cannot be like the American soldier during the Civil War. He lived at the border of the North and the South. So when he saw the Northern soldiers advancing and the Southern soldiers, he put on a shirt of the Northern Army and a trouser of the Southern Army. But I'll prove to you that both are correct. Because prophets do not make mistakes. Amen. It's people in their understanding that create mistakes. I said it's people in their misunderstanding. They create these so-called contradictions. In Psalms 119, which I'm not going to read, it's not my sermon, I'm just laying a foundation. Make time to study Psalms 119. It is the longest psalm in the Bible, and for a good reason. Because David sings all 22 alphabets of the Jewish language. By the grace of God, I have done a little study. And the 22 letters are a complete sermon in themselves. So much so that even the word alphabet that we use in English is Jewish in its origin. Aleph, Beta, Gimel, Dalet, He, all the way to Tav, the 22nd letter. However, every Jewish letter equals a number. So by the time you come to the 22nd letter, let me give you the names and the numbers quickly, because you are drawing it out. Aleph equals 1, Bet equals 2, Bet for house equals 2, Gimel for camel, even the word Gimel, camel, comes from Gimel, the Hebrew, equals 3, Dalet for door equals 4, He for window equals 5, Vav for hook equals 6, Tzayin for crown equals 7, no wonder God crowns the church ages with 7 messengers. Because the 7th letter, Tzayin, stands for a crown or a weapon. No wonder the sword fell in Brother Benham's hand. Amen. Then the 8th letter is Cheth. It equals wall. It equals 8 as well. Then you come to Teth. The 9th letter, it means a basket, equals 9. And then Yod. Jesus said, not even a Yod. In your Bible, it's Jod. It's Yod. It's the 10th letter. It stands for a hand. It equals 10. From the 11th letter, it multiplies 10 times. So the 11th letter is 20. The 12th letter, Lamed, is 30. Mem, the 13th, 40. Nun, Joshua, the son of Nun, 50. Jubilee. These things are beautiful. Then comes your 15th letter, Samech, equals 60. It stands for support. The 16th letter, Ayin, means the I, even Hebrew, Ayin, I. So you are Hebrews and you don't even know it. That is why the Hebrew language is the language that was spoken since Eden. All other languages came from it. Some of you who speak Dutch, you know that six is ses or shesh, ses. And the Hebrew is shesh. Sheva, sieva, seven. Sheva, sieva, seven. So these languages originate from this language. Quickly, by the time you come to the 17th letter, it's pe, mouth. That's how you say, I don't like people who pe. Mouth. Is that right? In Africa we use that. Pe. It comes from the Hebrew mouth. It equals 80. Then the 18th letter, it's tzadi. Tzadi stands for 90. Then you come to the 19th letter, kof, needle, eye of a needle. The 20th letter, resh, resh, the origin of the word rosh, Russia, rosh. Did you know that Russia comes from this letter? It stands for 200 and it means head. That's why when Ezekiel sees those armies marching against Israel, he sees Russia as the head. Amen. And the armies following. Yes. Rosh, Ruchka, Gog and Magog. That number equals 200. Now you're on the 20th letter. By the time you come to the 21st letter, listen carefully, it's going to tie into our sermon this morning. The 21st letter is Shin, and it equals 300. Then the 22nd is Tav, it equals 400. Are you listening? Yes. There is no 23rd letter. So we are coming back to Brother Benham's statement. The 23rd letter is not in this dimension. Yes. It is in the other dimension. Yes. I spoke to a rabbi. I said, when a man speaks in terms of Enoch walked 500 years, he stopped me. He said, who spoke like that? I said, well, a Gentile man, a goyim for Gentile, a man we believe to be a prophet. He said, what did he say? I said, he said, Enoch walked with God 500 years. He says, only prophets speak like that. Amen. I said, so what are you picking up from it? He says, because 500 is the 23rd letter that does not exist in this dimension. So the man meant that Enoch was translated. And we all went with our calculators, and when he tried to prove a prophet wrong, when he was speaking in a dimension way above ours. Amen. That's why when the debate took place in Houston, Texas, when the pillar of fire came down, Brother Brenner makes a statement. You'll find it on the message table if you are a student of the message. And I'm not talking intellectual, I'm talking by revelation. Brother Branham says 500 ushers protected him because Reverend Best was at his best. You know what I mean. But those who were there, when they heard Brother Branham say that, they stumbled because they did not understand the prophetic language. They said there were no more than 12 ushers. But he wasn't saying 500 ushers physical. He was saying the other dimension came down to protect me. If the Lord wishes, next time we will go into these numbers. And these are things that convince me Brother Branham as a prophet is irreplaceable. I don't believe in eighth messenger, seven and a half, seven and three quarter messengers. It's a waste of time. How can you come with one ministry as a pastor or an evangelist and try and replace a man who had multiple ministries? Brother Benham had so many ministries in one, and you come as a little apostle or pastor. I am the eighth messenger. I must see you fit all those and even more. But there's no scripture that there will be an eighth messenger. With that we begin Baruch Abba Baruch Hashem Adonai. We are going to take our time, not too much, but we will prove to you that the statement I'm going to read from the 10 virgins, the Revelation series, paragraph 111. The prophet refers to Second World War, rather First World War, beg your pardon, and how that the angels of God stopped it on time. Amen? The 11th, he goes into those mysteries. Amen. And then he explains why God had to stop that war, or else it would have escalated and escalated and escalated, and the earth would have been destroyed even before we came along. Amen. The earth would have been destroyed even before the mighty angel, Revelation 10, comes down with the book. Can you imagine the implications? So God sent those angels to stop the war. That's what he's saying. He says, there are angels holding that great thing that I saw in the vision. The whole thing would have become a destruction. Holding the atomic. Holding the wars that they don't destroy themselves until Israel returns back, becomes a nation, gets herself together, and then this message, the very message we're enjoying, will go to Israel. Amen. And Israel will be sealed with that seal of the Holy Ghost. So one day, pondering on the statement, because the prophet says, everything the Holy Spirit speaks, you can just about find it in the scriptures. So we are going to start in Genesis. I'm going slow for the translator. And then we are going to comb through the scriptures. You'll be surprised how many types and shadows are hidden in the Bible to prove that this statement from the prophet is true. But at the same time, we will sound a warning that playtime is over. Now, we know that when this gospel returns to the Jews, it'll be by two prophets. It'll be Moses and Elijah. In 40 years, I've seen all kinds of doctrines come and go. Men saying, I am that Moses, I am that Elijah, and they are Gentiles. I've also come across doctrines that say, maybe that Moses and Elijah are already born and they are in the land of Israel. I'm not saying so, I'm saying what they are saying. And all these things have been flying about. But when you spend your time with the voice of this prophet, you get the answers. Yes, so if you have the old seven seal book, because I quote from the old books, because we come from 72, 73. I don't know what it is in the new reprint. But in the old seal book, it's page 470 into 4701. The prophet puts page to that question. He says something about Enoch and Elijah going into heaven, and he catches a thought. Somebody say, no, it won't be Moses and Elijah coming back. It must be Enoch and Elijah. The prophet says, no, don't think like that. I saw them this morning in a vision, walking out there in the land of Israel. It will be the very Moses and Elijah, because they never died. So if they never died, they cannot be reborn. So the doctrine that they must come back and be born and grow up. No, he says the way they went, that's the way they'll come. And then live three and a half years and complete their ministry and then taste death. Hallelujah. Thank God for a prophet. So with that, whenever I go to Israel, I don't preach to the Jews. I just take message believers on tour so that certain things in the scriptures can become plainer for them. Now, there are many types in the scriptures proving that the gospel will return to the Jews. In Genesis 12, Abram was not a Jew, he was a Gentile, but through him and his seed came the Jewish nation. That's why the prophet says grace was before the law. So Abram did not live under the law, grace was before the law. The law came by Moses. Abram leaves the land in Genesis 12, goes to Egypt, Gentile, in that term, in that sense, but he returns. So can you see the gospel coming from Israel? Faith leaves the land, comes over to the Gentiles, Egypt, the world, then returns. The gospel will return to the Jews. Abram himself, when he's about to offer Isaac, Genesis 22:15, the voice calls twice. It says, Abram, Abram. Remember that God is foreshadowing Calvary with Isaac on the altar. And he calls Abram, Abram. Meaning Calvary and the message of Calvary, God will call it again. In the land of Israel. Where was Abram when he did that? Mount Moriah. The area of Calvary. Amen. Abram, Abram. Why two times? This takes me back to 5-6 years ago. Leading message people on tour. We were just outside Beersheba. Beersheba in Hebrew. The well of Sheva. Sheva, seven. He paid with seven rams. Also, Shevoa. See the Hebrew language? Oath. Sheva, seven. Shevoa, oath. So he did both. They made an oath, and he paid with seven rams. So it's Beer Sheva. That's why Bathsheba.
Hallelujah.
Means seventh daughter. Bar in Hebrew means son. Bat means daughter. But Sheva, the type of the bride.
Amen.
I was reading this very Bible just while we were waiting for meals, and this Arab waiter noticed that I was engrossed with what I was reading. He came and asked, what are you reading? I said, I'm reading the Bible. He says, oh, can I look at it? Yeah, can I touch it? He had never seen the Bible. He touched it. He said, now, in broken English, why black outside? I said, white inside.
Amen.
I've got a sense of humor. Anyway, I said, no, they come in blue, red, whatever color you want. Oh, where are you reading? I said, Genesis 22. He said, what's it about? I said, well, do you really want to know? He said, yes. I said, it's where God speaks to Abraham. And he says to him, Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, and offer him up. He says, no, there's something wrong with your Bible. I said, what do you mean? He says, it can be Isaac's only son. Ishmael was already there. I said, I know. He said, mistaken Bible. I said, no, sir. It's how you read. Of course, he said, what do you mean? I said, if God had said, Abram, take your son, your only son, he would take Ishmael. God called him by his new name. When he said, Abraham, he has only one son as Abraham, the son of promised Isaac. He just poured my soup into my bowl and walked away. He saw it. Something he had never thought. That our Abram fathers Ishmael under the old name, but Abraham fathers Isaac. And God therefore addressed him by his new name. And Abraham knew that the son of the new name is Isaac. So Isaac also leaves the land and goes to Gerar and returns. I'm laying a foundation. And then Jacob also leaves the land and goes to Haran, and returns. So Abram, Isaac, Jacob, a trinity of the Old Testament. This is beautiful. Amen. Yet with the same DNA. Amen. So it doesn't make them three. Their DNA is the same. Their DNA in Abram is the DNA in Isaac. It's the DNA in Jacob. Amen. They all left the land and returned. The gospel will return. But did you know, if you are a careful message Bible reader, that the title Abram, Isaac, Jacob is spoken 12 times in the Old Testament? God is in his numbers, you know. Of course. You don't find this by reading the newspaper on the one side and the Bible on the other. It sometimes takes months. Because one verse is here, another verse is there. But if you're looking for it, God will help you find it. So where is that 13th mention of the God of Abram, Isaac, Jacob? 13 is the number of a woman, church. It's got to go back to the Jews when that church comes along. Because we have seen the God of Abram, Isaac, Jacob as the God of William Branham. And the God of the bride. So it will go back to the Jews. We are going to go a little deeper. You know, when you scuba dive, how many of you know what that is? You don't just plunge, you'll burst your lungs. You've got to go and decompress, and go a little deeper, decompress. That's what I'm doing. Amen. We are decompressing, laying a foundation as we move. In Genesis 23:16, the land was brought from Ephron for 400 shekels. Many years later, Abram buys it from Ephron. Many years later, his grandson, Jacob, rebuys the same land in Genesis 33:19 from Shechem. Shechem is not a nice name. Never call your son Shechem. Means donkey. No wonder he did what he did to Dinah. The youth, are you listening? We know what he did to Dinah, and he had to pay with his life because his name means donkey. So never call your child Shechem, Ricky, Elvis. Yeah, just because it's in the Bible. Oh, I think this is a very exotic name, Shechem. Don't go after that. Check the meaning. I'm not here to joke, but sometimes the statements of the prophets are taken lightly. There was this brother, I won't say what country. He heard the prophet say, give your children Bible names. And he began good. Firstborn, Genesis. He was in the Bible. Who can say he's not? Then the second baby came and they were moving house. He says, ah, Exodus, we are leaving. And then the third one came. Oh, he says, Leviticus for Levi. Because Leviticus means manual for the Levites. Leviticus, Leviticus, a manual book for the Levites. Very good, very good, very good. And then, you know what happened after that? He had triplets. So he went back to the Bible. He said, Numbers 1, 2, 3. He was in the Bible, but watch. Then the pastor had to visit him and said, please, brother, the Bible has got 66 books. Do you read what the pastor is saying? Amen. I'm sure he was planning to give them names up to the 66th book of Revelation. So the pastor had to say, you know, Brother Branham said to Billy Paul, when God said multiply and replenish, he didn't mean Billy Paul alone. Amen. So the land is bought by Abram and then it is rebought. Can't you see? The price is paid the first time. And then the second time, they are given a chance for the second time. Oh, my. Then you look at the numbers. 400 shekels over here, 100 shekels over here. The total paid for the land was 500 shekels. 5 is grace. 100 times. And you realize that the book of Zechariah says, when Christ reveals himself to the Jews, they'll separate one from another, family of David apart, and they will weep because he shall be pouring upon them the spirit of grace. And in 3.5 years, 144,000 will see the entire scriptures. They'll see the Messiah. And look how long it's been taking us to mature in the message. But they'll mature in 3.5 years. That's got to be extra grace. Amen. Let me share with you a secret. When I began to see that Brother Branham has the ministry of Moses and Elijah in him as well, with the Son of Man, etc., etc., I began to say, Lord, you are so perfect in your word. How is it that Israel gets it in 3.5 years and we take so long? And it's like a little voice. I don't hear voices. I'm not a prophet. I'm just the Son of God like you are. But something just said in my heart, it's the same time. I said, excuse me? It's the same time. That's when something in the heart said, how many tapes are there that he preached, the prophet? I said, over 1,000, maybe 1,003 that are known. And the Holy Spirit said, God's prophetic calendar is 30 days in a month. Yes. If you listen to a message a day, not a tape a day, a message, 2 tapes, 3 tapes, 4 tapes. If you listen to a message a day, oh, hallelujah, in 3.5 years, you will have listened to all the messages. So if we are faithful to this message, you can mature in 3.5 years also. But we are busy with other things. We listen to the first tape, just 15 minutes. And then I don't say don't drink your coffees, then you feel for a coffee. And then after a coffee, the phone rings and a brother talks to you for 3 hours. And then, oh, I didn't wash my car. And that's our life. But I'm saying, if you set with a message a day, in 3.5 years you'll mature. So here's some more proof that the message will return. When Joseph's coat of 7 colors, 7 changes, was taken from him, they killed a goat. Watch. And dipped the coat in blood. Are you listening? And returned it to Israel. Amen. Give God the glory. Amen. So the very message that you've been enjoying, dipped in the blood of Christ, will go back to Israel. And he recognized it. So this is my son's coat. Israel will recognize the message of the 7 church ages, dipped in the blood of Joseph Christ. And they said, we will blame it on the beast. That's Genesis 37:20. If you read the manuscripts, they will tell you, we will blame it on a she-wolf. Who killed Christ? Romulus, who was supposed to have been suckled by a she-wolf. Oh. Excuse me. The mystery of Rome is that there were twins called Romulus and Remus who were suckled by a she-wolf. And there it is hidden in the scriptures. We will blame the death of Joseph Christ on the she-wolf. It was a shadow that Rome, the beast, will kill your Messiah. Do you know that when Joseph was rejected and sold to go to Egypt, the book of Jasher, which many people are a bit apprehensive about, Yet the prophet says in voice of the sign, volume 22:12, 1964, he says, God has no other way of bringing his word but by prophets after they are vindicated, like Jesha, comma, and many others whose books didn't come to be part of the Bible. He sanctions Jesha. And the Bible, as we will hear tonight at Brother McKinstry, in two places it says, is it not written in the book of Jesha? Meaning, go read it there. So when you read the book of Jesha, it tells you that seven Gentile men, hallelujah, I'm getting very religious, seven Gentile men carried Joseph to Egypt. Seven stars in his right hand take Christ to the Gentile church, because in Egypt he met Asenath. So seven Gentile men carried Joseph to his wife. Say amen, somebody. Later we are going to show you how Asenath, the church, Gentile church, sends back the goods to Israel. The very church, Gentile church, the message she's had, the blessing she's had, she sends them back to Jacob, Israel. Amen. Message will go back. We are now already in Genesis 38. When Judah did what he did, we have children, so I've got to veil it. We know what Tamar did. Tamar is a beautiful name. It means a date palm. And in Israel, when they say the land of milk and honey, the first time I went, I was looking for bees everywhere for the honey. When I didn't see bees, I was disappointed. I said, how come it's called land of milk and honey? Then I came to learn that the date trees, their honey comes from the fruit. And when I was looking around for milk, I thought, well, Israel will be teeming with cows. No. It's not that way. Milk in the type is the land of opportunities. Land of blessings. But the honey comes from the date. That's why Jericho is called in the scriptures the city of palms. And that's where Rahab came from. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, brother. When Judah did what he did, it's a long story. It's a sermon in itself. She disguised herself. I used to wonder why Judah said to Tamar at the end of the episode, thou hast been more righteous than me. And I thought, wait. How can a Canaanite woman be told she's more righteous than the Jew through whom the Messiah would come? Then searching the manuscripts, Judah was supposed to obey the law that says, if a brother dies without issue, the younger brother and the following brother, if they all die without issue, they must be given to this woman. He did not honor that. It forced her to honor her Canaanite law that says if the father then fails, the father must sire the child. My. The Canaanites had a law that if the father fails to do that, they had an extension of that law, then that father must father as child. Then I said, Lord, I'm rebuked, because I used to think what an immoral young woman she was. No. That's why Judah turned around and said, thou hast been more righteous than me. You kept your law better than I kept mine. And sometimes in your offices at work, your neighbors, sometimes a sinner comes and rebukes a message person and say, you call yourself a Christian? How come so and so lives better than you and you call yourself a Christian? That's when Judah must admit, thou hast been more righteous than me. But God have mercy on us all. We know that Judah left his signet. They used to use that as a seal or the tablet. He left his staff. Now that staff was not just an ordinary walking stick like today. No. it had inscriptions on it. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Noah, Shem, all the way down, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Judah. It was like your identity book, your passport with a chip. Today when we take your passport with the barcode and that little chip, we run it through a computer, there's your birth date, the color of your hair, color of your eyes, height, weight. So Judah, watch! The identification of Judah in the hands of a Gentile woman. Are you catching it? The Gentile woman who fell pregnant, and that son is in the lineage of the Messiah. These are deep types and shadows. And at the end, she gives it back to Judah. The Gentile church that is pregnant with Christ. Amen. Has the evidence, but the evidence will go back to Judah the Jew. Say amen, somebody. Oh, my. That's why Joseph put back the money in the mouths of the bags two times. In Genesis 42 and Genesis 44. Two times. Another sermon tonight. Why Joseph did it. But in short, he was indicating, I am the one you sold for money. If you can, don't miss tonight. We will answer the question, why is Jesus sold for 30, but Joseph is sold for 20? And Joseph types Christ. I couldn't put it together for years, but now we can. Well, I heard a minister say, Joseph was sold for 20, but when Christ came, it was much later. So, you know, life, inflation. It's all right for a while, but it's got to tie perfectly. So don't miss tonight. You'll find out how it works out. So, see, Joseph twice sent back the money to show that what they missed the first time, he will resend it. And when they opened their bags, they saw it. They said, our money is restored. Restoration. Amen. Joseph was indicating restoration. Amen. That which was, the money came from them, went to the Gentiles, and went back to them. Amen. Remember, they came with the money. Amen. So the money came out of Israel, came into the hands of the Gentiles, and then it's being restored back to them. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Amen. That's why in Genesis 45, he gives Benjamin five times the food, five times the clothes. As a symbol that little Benjamin, a type of the 144,000, grace will come back to them. Amen. Now we're going to go a little deeper. It says he gave Benjamin five changes. Watch the word! Five changes of clothes. Why does the Bible use the word changes? Because when it changes from the law to grace, when it changes from the law to grace, when they change from the law of Moses to the grace of Jesus Christ, their eyes will open. Amen. There's something else he did. He gave Joseph gave Benjamin 300 pieces of silver. Psalms 12 verse 6 tells you, the word of the Lord is as silver, purified in the furnace of the earth seven times. Can you see that seven times? So by giving silver, it's a symbol of the word will return to them. But which word? The one that's gone through the earth seven times. Seven church ages. Beautiful indeed. And then why the number 300? We just showed you a while ago that the 21st letter is Shin. And Shin equals 300. So 300 shekels is the 21st letter, which is Shin. And guess what Shin stands for? The whole content of the word. So by giving 300, he's symbolizing the whole word. Silver, the whole word of the seven church ages will come to little Benjamin. Say amen, somebody. That's why the prophet says the Bible is an Eastern book. We read 300, we think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sure, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 300. But what does 300 stand for? Then you've got to go back in the original writing. It means the whole content of the word. Silver, the word that came through purification in the earth, Gentile world, seven times, will be given back to the Jews. Amen. Now we come to where Joseph had to reveal himself. We all have listened, we all have heard the prophet say, he dismissed the Gentiles, he dismissed the wife, that's the rapture, amen, but don't leave it there. The prophet says, I'm just opening doors, you must enter those doors and look around. This is what the manuscript says, and it's in the book of Jasher as well. Joseph had been speaking to them through an interpreter. But the interpreter was Egyptian that spoke Hebrew to them. And he was Hebrew speaking Egyptian. Crisscross. Chris?
Amen.
Let me repeat. Joseph spoke through an interpreter. The interpreter who spoke Hebrew was himself Egyptian. And the one speaking was Hebrew, but speaking Egyptian to be interpreted into Hebrew. It was a cross.
Amen.
Christ is going to talk to his brethren through the cross.
Amen.
Ooh, excuse me.
Amen.
Oh. I just feel a certain, it's beautiful. But you could have missed it.
Amen.
They spoke crisscross, but he was speaking to his brothers, crossing the languages to show that he will speak to the 144,000 the language of the cross of Christ.
Amen.
And the one speaking was a Gentile, so the message of this Gentile, William Branham, will go back to them.
Amen.
But when he said to them, I am Joseph, I'm quoting Genesis 45, verse 3 and 4. He spoke twice. He said, I'm Joseph. And they looked at him with bewilderment. He had to say the second time, I am Joseph. It's written. You see, the first time 2,000 years ago, he said, I'm he. They looked at him with bewilderment. So he must come back now and say, I am he. I am Joseph.
Amen.
And they will see it.
Amen.
But it goes deeper than that. When he dismissed his wife and the Gentiles, that's the rapture, he knew that his brethren would believe just one more sign. An irrefutable sign. A sign you cannot deny. Jasher says he therefore took off the Egyptian crown, you know the cobra thing? Then he removed the false beard. They are still bewildered. He removed the bandages. Not bandages, bangles, rings, Egyptian way, you know. They still were bewildered. Now I'm going to speak within the veil. He knew that they would believe one sign that began with God and Abraham.
Hallelujah.
There you go.
Amen.
When he showed them the sign of the wound in the flesh, they said it's him. That is why if you appreciate these things, you will not mix up the bodies that God uses. I was fellowshipping with a pastor yesterday that on Yom Kippur, the high priest changes clothes 5 times and washes his body 10 times. Those clothes are bodies. Christ, the body, born through Mary, he's wearing that garment for 33 years. He dies on the cross. But when he resurrects, it's a glorified body.
Amen.
Another garment.
Amen.
Mary Magdalene wants to touch him. He says, don't touch me. Why? You don't touch the high priest on Yom Kippur. You'll defile him.
Amen.
He must take the blood in and out, in and out. That's why he appeared, reappeared, appeared, disappeared. Then he said, I must ascend. He's going to the holiest of holies in heaven. The high priest is going to deposit blood. Then that evening he comes back, he has done his job. He says, now you may handle me. He's finished the Yom Kippur work. So he's still in that body. He appears, disappears, he eats. That's the glorified. Then he ascends with that body on the 40th day. And that body lays on the mercy seat until the rest of us come in. But then he comes, Brother Benham sees him suspended in the air. Brother Benham bites his finger, bites into the root. What body was that? It didn't touch the ground. It's another garment. In Genesis 18, he puts on flesh, theophany puts on flesh so he can eat, another garment. In 1963, he appears in the cloud. It's not a bleeding body. He calls it King Theophany Jesus. It's another garment. And then when we are done with the wedding supper, he will then change into the body in which he was crucified. Amen. Now it leaves the mercy seat. Amen. Not before. Amen. Message teachers have messed up these bodies and end up with there's no more mercy. And you ask them, when is there no more mercy? 1963. When did you come in the message? 1993. What is this? You mix up the bodies, you'll end up removing him from the mercy seat. That body only gets up when the church is gone, and then when he must appear to the 144, there's Joseph who must show them a wound. Zechariah says, they'll ask, what are those wounds? And you say, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Can you see the type of Joseph? He showed them a wound in the flesh. They recognized him. Christ will come and show them the corporal body he was crucified in. They will see him. But before that, Brother Bam says, no Gentile sees him in a bleeding body. He says, that's Antichrist. It'll break the scriptures. Oh, my. Then Joseph sends 11 wagons to convince his father that I'm alive, I am he. After he shows the wounds, he sends more evidence. 11 wagons, says Jesha. That's why Revelation 11, two prophets. Israel will see it. So Israel received the goodies, the good things from a Gentile country. And if you read the manuscripts, it was Aseneth and Joseph who said, let us send evidence to your father. So can you see Christ and the church sending this message back to Israel? Aseneth was a wonderful woman if you read her life story. Can I share a bit of it? I'm going to go into it tonight. Aseneth was the daughter of a priest who had no son. She heard about a young, handsome boy who was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and is languishing in prison for something he didn't do. She asked permission from her father, who was very close to Pharaoh. Could they allow her to visit this young man in prison? What a love story. And permission was granted, and Aseneth kept visiting this young man, and the more she spoke to this young man, the more she was convinced of his innocence and purity. And she started bringing food because prison food wasn't all that good. And love blossomed. And Pharaoh heard of this relationship. It wasn't physical because he's in prison. That is why when Joseph comes out of prison, the Bible says, and Pharaoh gave Aseneth to Joseph. He already knew that this... Amen. So, sister, if you are without a husband, now I've given you scripture that if the brother is in prison somewhere or is busy imprisoned by his busy schedule, you have a right to, amen. Yeah, to ask permission. Yeah, Father, looks like this brother is in a deep coma. Can I go wake him up? Hallelujah. If the father and the pastor, you know, the priest is a pastor, if they say, okay, sister, granted, you do it the message way. Amen.
Amen.
I'll say something to the young people. I'm going to close in a while. You are not forbidden, sister. You are not forbidden to try, because Ruth is your example. Amen. You don't read that it was Boaz who came. No, it was Naomi telling Ruth, go do this, go do that. So if you follow good advice, the sister has got a right to now and then say, brother, I'm sitting next to you. Do you see me today? Just in case he's too busy. Amen. But there was this brother, and I'm talking reality. I make you laugh, but it's reality. There was this brother in my church, was very bashful. He liked the sister. He was in love with the sister, but he just couldn't bear to tell her. So he started writing her, back in my days, started writing a letter a day. So she was receiving 5 or 6 letters a week. 31 letters a month. So the pastor said, you know, brother, don't keep it to letters only. Women sometimes like to see you, talk to you. And he was so bashful. 6 months later, she married the postman. The one who delivered the letters. Because after a while, he wanted to know, who's this writing you these letters? Oh, it's a boy who likes me. So, but why does he never come? He's very bashful. Then he says, I like you. And she married the postman. So be very careful, brother. She'll marry the postman if you are very bashful. So that came off of Asenath. Asenath went to see Joseph. Tonight, I will detail the love story that existed between Naomi and Boaz.
Hallelujah.
Before Ruth comes into the picture. Then you'll understand why at the end it is Naomi who encourages Ruth to rather marry this man. Why, it's Israel. Christ loved Israel. But Israel disappointed Boaz. So the Gentile bride comes into the picture. Oh, don't miss these things. Amen. So the Bible says in Genesis 45:27, when Israel saw the wagons, the goods, the Bible says the spirit within Jacob was revived. Watch that word, revived. Israel will have a revival.
Amen.
Amen. So Jacob sees Israel. No, Jacob, Israel sees Joseph. For the second time toward the end of his life. He sees him the first 17 years. He doesn't see him for 22. There are those letters again. He didn't see him for 22 years. Then at the end, he sees him again. Israel sees Christ. Doesn't see him for the duration of the alphabetic Jewish alphabet. 7 church ages from A to Z. From Aleph to Tav. At the end of his age, church ages, Israel sees Joseph again. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, my. So the story of Jacob crossing his hands. I know preachers, we always show the blessing came on the younger, which is true. And we leave it there. We don't pursue it. We forget that the cross was on both children. But we always emphasize the younger one. But the cross was on both sons.
Amen.
So as much as the blessings come on the Gentile, the cross will also come back to the elder brother. Because both hands that were crossed were on both children. Oh, what a type.
Amen.
So perfect. Amen. That's why in Genesis 49:22, and I'm quoting from Revelation book 12, page 609. When it says the branch of Joseph will go over the wall. Brother Benham says that was a prediction and prophecy of how the United States would begin. How that the gospel that was Israel, the very same types and shadows will follow in America. But watch, if the branch goes over the wall, what is the mystery? The sap, when it's winter, the sap will return back to the original tree. So what went out will come back to the original tree. That's why Paul says, God is able to graft them in again. Amen. Are you enjoying the word?
Amen.
That's why Joseph said, take my bones back to Israel when that Exodus comes. Why? He who once lived among them has now died and returns after his death. I'll say it again. That Joseph who once lived among them, who has died, now his bones, he returns. A symbol of the Christ who lived among them, died, but returning to them in another form. But it's the same Christ. Amen. Oh my. And did you know Exodus 2:16 tells you that Moses, who types Christ, when he fled from his brethren in Egypt, Jewish brethren, he went and lived among the seven daughters of Jethro. Huh? Gentile. Seven Gentile women.
Amen.
Seven church ages.
Amen.
Did he end up there? No, he came back for their deliverance.
Hallelujah.
So the Christ, Moses, who's been among the seven daughters, seven church ages, will return and deliver Israel. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
That's why the law was written twice. I'm quoting Exodus 32 and 34. And this is going to help you like I believe it's helped my church.
Amen.
When God wrote the laws the first time, God had done the cutting of the rock, the shaping, the polishing, and the writing. So it was easy for Moses to break it.
Amen.
When the pastor does everything for you, you don't appreciate it.
Amen.
He preaches for you. He prays for you. He slogs in the study room looking for nuggets. You just open your mouth, you pour them in there. Later, you don't appreciate it. So God says, oh, Moses. So it's easy to break the tables. Eh? Can we read Exodus 34, verse 1?
Amen.
I feel to read it. You will see what I'm trying to say. So the second time, Exodus 34, verse 1, we read, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew you two tables of stone, like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which you break. There you go. You see how I'm emphasizing? This time, God does not do the cutting of the flint stone, because if I take you to Sinai, we are going in November, the hardest rock, almost close to iron, is flint. That's the rock of Sinai. So don't think it was soft stone. You know, I've been in Zimbabwe, you know, we just cut soft soapstone and then we make... It isn't that soft. This is flint. So God says, Moses, ready for the second set of tables? Yes, Lord. He says, now you do the cutting. A man of 80 years out there in the sun, not with an electric drill and an electric... No. Old age, hammer and chisel, whatever. Did Moses ever break it again?
Thank you.
In our days, the books were free. Seal books, COD volume 1, volume, church ages, those thick books. Footprints on the Sands of Time, free. You would come into a home, and you find a child is scribbling through the seven seal book. Da, 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 da. You look into the kitchen, the sister started a fire with some pages of the seven church age book. That's how easy it was. But since voice of God says, now you pay a fee, everybody's got a cabinet for the seal books. And when it comes free, but when you have to do something for it, you appreciate it. God bless your heart. I'm going to close in a while. What was the argument between Moses and his wife? What really sparked the battle? It's because you don't realize that Moses had two sons. Can we read that quickly as well? I found it shocking that some believers only know Moses and one son. They don't know he had two. Exodus 18, 3 and 4. Pastor, what's the time? Have we been going 1 hour? Just about? Can I go another 15? God bless you. Right. Give me Exodus 18. We read 3 and 4. We read this. And the name of the other. Let's start from verse 3. Speaking about verse 2. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back. I was also shocked to find out some people don't even know that Zipporah had been sent home before the Exodus. So Moses meets her later on the journey to the promised land. She had been sent back. If you read the manuscripts, it was when Moses said, "Oh, Pharaoh, the 10th plague has come out of your mouth, the death of the firstborn." But the manuscript said, Pharaoh said, "If my firstborn dies, your sons will die too." That's when Moses quickly said to the wife, "Before the plague hits, you better take our children out for safety." There it is in the Bible. But the next verse says, "And her two sons, of which the name of the one was Geshem, for he had said, 'I've been an alien in a strange land,' and the name of the other was Eliezer, Al-Azar in Hebrew, for the God of my father," said he, "was my help." Because Eliezer means God is my help. Two sons. So the battle or the... I don't like to use the word battle between husband and wife. I prefer to call it intense moments of fellowship. Husbands and wives don't really fight. They have fellowship, but sometimes very intense. So the intense moment of fellowship was to do with the one son circumcised and the other one not circumcised. Then we see Zipporah doing something that no other woman has ever done. Circumcision is to be done by priests, males. They are called the mohel. She takes a sharp flint stone there in the desert and she circumcises. She does something contrary to what has been tradition. What is God doing this for? The one son that she circumcises, she types the church.
Amen.
It's you and me.
Hallelujah.
The Gentile church will be circumcised by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is that right?
Amen.
The other one, oh my goodness.
Hallelujah.
The other one is Israel.
Amen.
He's been circumcised by law.
Right.
Are you with me? And this one is being circumcised by the church. God be praised. The Holy Ghost in the bride is what cuts the flesh from our hearts. Amen. So I'm just going to drop in something that I always preach when I also have youth meetings. I speak to married couples and I want to speak to our brothers before we close. If you marry a woman for a wife, never belittle her family where she comes from. If you want third world war in your marriage, start belittling her mother, her father. It would be very unwise. So this young couple had been having intense moments of fellowship. They went to the pastor and the pastor said, "You know what? You need a break. You need to go on holiday together. Go to some place where there'll be no circumstances to provoke this intense fellowship. Drive out to the Kruger National Park. That's where we have our wild animals. If you're from Zim, it'll be go to Hwange Park." So they were driving to the park, leaving the city, pressure behind them, open roads, you know what I'm saying. And they drove all day long to get to the park. "Brother, don't be like this. Brother, don't be like this." They just entered the park and their path was blocked by a troop of baboons. You know, they were just lounging. They couldn't go to the left, to the right, so they had to wait. They waited an hour or two and he lost his temper. And he said to the wife, "Any of your relatives?" "Brother," he asks her, "any of you, do you recognize any of your relatives?" Don't provoke a woman now. She was quiet for a while. She says, yes, my in-laws. You see, please do not insult her family because it'll bounce back on you. I'm just reminded by Moses and the wife fighting over a child. But it's a deep mystery because Moses types Christ, she types the church, amen. Therefore that son is their product.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Benham says the bride is pregnant, is that right?
Amen.
Yeah, we are pregnant with the seed word. We are pregnant from Christ. Oh, brother, sister. And that's when for two times in Exodus 4, she called him, thou art a bloody husband to me. She wasn't swearing because the original says, thou art a blood husband, thou art a blood husband. In Hebrew, my redeemer, my redeemer. So redeems the Gentile church and comes back again and redeems the Jewish church.
Amen.
By the same blood now.
Hallelujah.
No two Calvaries. One Calvary, but the double sword. It redeems the Gentile bride and the 144,000. Amen. That's why the tabernacle was once removed from among Israel, but it returned. I'm rushing now. And that's why there are two Passovers in the Bible. And again, people say, what? I only know the one of Exodus 12. Let's go to Numbers 9. There's another one. Numbers 9, God gave mercy to Israel that if they missed the first Passover, he would resend it. Can you see Christ our Passover? Oh, I hope I'm talking to Bible readers here. God bless you, message listeners. Numbers 9, quickly. We are about 10 or so minutes from closing. Numbers 9, and we read verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity, you see how the prophecy was looking back to the end time? You hear, or your great, 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 great grandchildren, Israel today, shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, Christ dying. Oh, this is deep.
Amen.
Shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, Christ died. Or be in a journey afar off, they were dispersed into the many nations. Yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. When? The 14th day of the second month. Second chance. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Those things are deep. Dead body. You are far off outside of your country. That's the Jews now. Christ died. Dead body. They were dispersed. Far off countries. Yet, I'll give you a second chance. Let's say amen to Jesus. You see. That's why Miriam was cast out of the camp for 7 days. But at the end of 7 days, Miriam was readmitted. A house with leprosy, Leviticus 14, shut down for 7 days. At the end of the seventh day, the priest returns. That's why the ark was once taken to the 5 cities of the Philistines, Gentiles, 5, grace among them. Ark among 5 cities. But it returned. That's why Rahab's scarlet thread was recognized by Joshua. The Holy Ghost now will recognize the blood of Christ 2,000 years ago when it goes back, the Jews coming back into the land. Here's a beautiful thing. Do you realize Rahab was already in the promised land? Hey, when the Jews crossed to come into the promised land, the bride was already in the promise. God is saying to them, the Gentiles will be in it before you do. So that's why they had to recognize the very scarlet thread she had all the time. Oh, praise be to God. Amen. In Psalms 118, please read verse 26. The very prophecy we read repeats. Then shall we bless thee from the house of the Lord. After it says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Baruch, Abba, Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Then the second part. Then will we bless you from the house of the Lord. That's why Jesus said, there will come a day you will fulfill the second part of Psalms 118:26. That's why Boaz, tonight I will touch on that, let me leave it. Boaz testifies twice, you are my witnesses, you are my witnesses. Why? He redeems Ruth, then he redeems Naomi. Redeems the Gentile church, redeems the Jewish church. Twice he says, you are my witnesses. So we are returning the favor. The favor that we received belongs to the Jews. We are returning it. That's why Obed, the son of Boaz and Ruth, the Gentile church, ends up in the arms of Naomi. Give God the glory. Amen. The product of Boaz, Christ, and his Gentile wife Ruth ends up being nursed by Naomi. And they sing, this child shall be a restorer, restoration of thy life. The message, the product that comes from Christ and the Gentile wife restores Naomi. Oh, David flees to Gath, the Gentiles, but he returns. Mordecai appears before Esther's feast and reappears after Esther's feast. We've been having a feast for the last seven church ages. Mordecai, Israel, 2,000 years ago, after the seven church age feast, Mordecai reappears. That's why the temple was destroyed and rebuilt. Jews were cast out, diaspora, and returned, Aliyah. Amen. Now I'm going to leave you thinking. Are you ready with your pads? I'm leaving out a few things. I'll catch them tonight. Now our last point. In the message, recognizing your day in its message. 2 minutes, Pastor. Recognizing your day in its message, page 13 and 14. The prophet says, you should have seen how the devil fought me this morning to try to keep me from preaching this sermon, recognizing your day in its message. And he gives the reason why. He says, this prophecy of Hosea 6 was spoken in the year 780 B.C. I'm waiting for you to write it down. 780 B.C. He says, and the prophecy says, he has smitten us, he has rejected us, etc., etc. But he will rebind us. He will bind up our wounds. When? In the third day. Brother Benham says, from 780 B.C., to 1964 was 2,744 years. So they were already in that third day. He says that's why they became a nation. Amen. God is rebinding their wounds. But I'm closing with a controversy which split churches in 1978. Many left the message in 1978. I was among those that didn't know what was happening, but I never left. I couldn't explain it like I am now. But I just knew, well, I don't know about this 77 thing. But now when I look back, Pastor, I see where we misunderstood Brother Benham. Quickly, a few seconds. Brother Benham says, 1977 will usher in the millennium. Amen. I predict. But he makes another statement that we ignored. He says 1977 will be the 70th Jubilee to the Jewish people. Amen. We did not follow that path. Amen. We went to 77 on the Gentile calendar. I'll repeat the real statement. 1977 will be the 70th Jubilee to the Jewish people.
Hallelujah.
Now we know that a Jubilee is 50 years, right? Please write it down. 50 times 70. Because it says 70th Jubilee. Give me the total of 50 times 70. I know the answer. I'm waiting for you. 3,500. Wonderful. So what else is he saying? He's saying it'll be the 70th Jubilee. So what is he saying? Find out when the first Jubilee was. We failed right there. Are you ready? Under that 3,500, right the year when the first Jubilee began, 1490 BC. 1490. Now do your subtraction. What was he saying? Don't be afraid to tell me the answer. 2010. I'm leaving you thinking. Do you know that 2010, a year and a half ago, more Jews returned to Israel other than 1948? Why? They know it's their 70th Jubilee. Right. Now, Brother Branham says, when you have an answer, you must work it back. Now, under that 2010, minus 33, because that's how long Jesus lived before the Holy Ghost was poured out. Minus 33 from 2010. And don't be afraid to give me the answer. 1977. We misunderstood that prophet big time. So we are 1.5 years past the 70th Jubilee of the Jews. We are living on borrowed time. Last but not least, I spoke to a rabbi. I said, Rabbi, since 2010 is your 70th Jubilee, and of course he smiled, he said to me, you should not be a Christian. You should be with us here because you know these things. Because he doesn't understand Christianity. He says, the things you ask me, you should be a student here in Israel. I said, but Rabbi, truth be told, you've been waiting for the Messiah. He said, yes. I said, now you are a calculative man. You do calculations from Daniel understood by the books. He says, yes. I said, so what's happened with the coming of the Messiah? He scratched his head, Pastor, as you come up. He scratched his head. He said, you know, to be quite honest, this Messiah is 2,000 years overdue. Amen. What is he saying? Either he came 2,000 years ago and we didn't know it, or he's late by 2,000 years. I said, Rabbi, he's not late. He came. But when he comes again, he'll still be on time. Amen.
I mean, when the brother was preaching, I was thinking of, let's stand, I was thinking of Naomi and Ruth. Amen. You know, she was the one who told Ruth the mysteries. She was the one who instructed her and told her the correct approach and told her the season of time that she was living in. Friends, there's something about Israel. They, the older brother, they know it, friends, before us. But there was such a mystery that God hid inside of his word of the Gentile bride that the prophets, even in the Old Testament, Isaiah and Jeremiah, many times they looked over and they saw the Messiah coming and suffering, and then they saw the Messiah coming in glory, and they didn't realize that there was going to be the two advents of the Messiah. They didn't see the Gentile period in the middle from Calvary all the way to this time that God is going to deal with the Gentiles, because that was a mystery that was in God that needed to be expressed in due season. And friends, we are the expression of that mystery. And that is why you find inside of yourself, you feel such an affinity to the Jews. Any Christian that speaks against Israel isn't a real Christian. They don't have a Christian spirit, because the Christian spirit, where did it come from? Friends, this isn't something that's new. They are the natural olive tree. The life was in them first. And then they were chopped off in their unbelief. And we, the wild olive, were grafted into that tree. And just any day now, Laodicea and its blindness gets cut off once again. Amen. And they get grafted in, like the brother said. That's why when you hear Gershom Solomon and Rabbi Richman and those people, you feel such a uniting time with them. Amen. You know, when I was at university, there was Jews in our hostel. And when I became a message believer, you'd find those Jews would debate with the different denominational people, and those denominations would be trying to tell them there's three gods and stuff, and they would call me, the Jews. And they'd say, Andrew, come and tell these Christian friends of yours that there's no three gods. And I was closer to the Jews than I was to the denominational people. And friends, that's the way that it's got to be. Because Ruth and Naomi, they came back at the same time. Naomi came back to get the land. Ruth came back for Boaz. And that's exactly what's taking place in the age that we're living in. So to sum it up and bring it in simplicity, what does it mean? It means it's later than you think, friends. Is that Christ is just about finished dealing with the Gentiles. Last week we saw the brother speaking of pouring out the oil. And there comes a time when there's no more vessels, there's no more Gentile vessels that are empty to receive the oil. And then the gospel goes back to the Jews. And he pours out the spirit of grace and supplication upon the house of David. And friends, we're right at that time. They've got their cornerstone for the temple. They've got all the vessels. They've got all the high priest garments. We saw it a while back. The Jews are under an expectation. There's something moving inside of their souls that they know the time is near. They've put up billboards in Israel, I heard, saying the Messiah is coming soon. A few years back, three of their chief rabbis had the same dream the same night, that the Messiah is coming soon. They're under an anticipation, and the Gentile world is falling asleep, friends. It's in a Sodom condition. It's really fallen asleep at the post of duty. But the great thing about it is that there's a bride. And she's received eyesalve in the end time. She's received an anointing of the eagle. And she can see things the way that they should be seen. What a wonderful thing it is that the Lord has done for us. And the hour is late. If you're not in yet, if you're not in Christ, don't put it off till tomorrow, friends. Because just any day now, the door is going to close to the Gentiles. And not another Gentile is going to be saved. And the grace of God is going to be poured out upon Joseph's brothers. And they're going to recognize Joseph and all that he went through for them. Let's sing that song. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening, the signs that the prophets foretold. Friends, the Gentile days are numbered. We see it. The economies are collapsing. They're speaking of the collapse of the Eurozone. They're speaking of the banking crisis. They're speaking of Spain now. And friends, it's just one thing leading to another. Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. And you know the saddest thing about it all is you get to a real solemn time like we're living in. And people are so interested in football and things like that. I don't understand believers like that. You sometimes find people get so caught up in foolish things of the world. At a time when the prophet says we should be stripping those things off. Leaving the foolish things of this life. Amen. Searching in the books so that we get ourselves in the spirit of preparation. Hallelujah. Let's be careful at these times when these big football championships. Christians shouldn't be involved in those kind of things, friends. If you find you get yourself in the spirit of football, be careful. That's the spirit of backsliding. Don't allow those things, friends. If that's your weakness, separate yourself from your weakness. Have nothing to do with those things at a season like this. Give yourself over to the Word, and the Lord will deliver you from that fascination with the things of this age. Let's leave those things, friends, at this season. Let's sing that song.
Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. Signs of the prophets foretold. Gentile days numbered, with horrors encumbered, eternity soon will unfold. The day of redemption is here, messiahs are failing for you. Fill with the Spirit your life's dreamed and clear. Jerusalem restoring the national life long before. Today she is calling, the latter days are falling, return world is first to your rule. The day of redemption is here. Church is the power that's shaking this tower. The day of redemption is here. The day of redemption is here.
True story a few years ago about the company Microsoft. Microsoft were losing so many of their engineers and scientists who were Jewish because they wanted to go back home. I've told it before. And Bill Gates, he got all of his big Jewish guys together and he says, "What's going on? Prices in Israel are far more expensive than in America. It costs more to buy a house. It's so much more expensive to buy a refrigerator, a car. The cost of living there is so expensive. Why are you people going back?" And the people couldn't explain the pull back to the land. And it was such a strong pull in the hearts of the Jews back to their land that Microsoft went and developed a facility in Israel. They said, "We can't stop these Jews going back, so let's harness their potential in Israel." And they built a big facility in Israel. And friends, that's the same as a message believer. You may get disoriented out there in the world for a while. You may get caught up in foolishness, the politics of the message, whatever that it is. But there's something inside of the heart of a genuine believer at this time that something is telling you it's time to get right with the Lord. There's something inside now, friends, that's telling you it's later than you think. That things are far down the road. And if you just get quiet before the Lord and just lay aside the foolishness of Hollywood for a season and the foolishness of this life, the Holy Ghost speaks so strongly in the soul of a believer now that it's time to gird up your loins. It's time to make sure that all is well, to keep short accounts between you and the Lord. And I'd really recommend that, friends. Let's be taking stock. Every time Jesus himself spoke about his coming, what did he say? Watch and pray. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. You go and read the warnings of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he knew the conditions of time when he would come. Let's be careful of the age we're in, friends. It's a wonderful age prophetically, if you've got prophetic vision. But it's a treacherous age, because Satan's got so much to offer out there. Let's sing this song. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught on earth can move or stand. Let's keep holding to God's unchanging hand at this time. Walking in the Word, walking in the light, walking with Christ in this age to the end of this journey.
Time is filled with swift transition.
Trust in Him who will not leave you. brother.
Oh, to the unchanging
song, then we come to a time of prayer. Let's all put ourselves before the Lord this afternoon. Let's sing that song. We haven't sung it for a long time. There's an eye watching you.
Amen.
The song says, all along the road to your soul's true abode, there's an eye watch. When we can't see you, friends, when you get home and turn on that computer, the Lord's watching you.
Amen.
The Lord's watching what you're looking at. When you get on Twitter there and you're doing this and that, the Lord's watching you, friends. Sometimes we find out as well. But it's not between you and me. It's been you and him. Let's walk with him, friends. And if there's things to be repented of as we come for prayer at the end, let's lay ourselves on the altar. Let's seek while there's still blood, fresh blood. The blood of Christ still speaks on our behalf. Let's make sure we've applied the token today, that we're living that life, that his life is in us. Let's sing the song. Then let's come to a time of prayer.
All along the road, to the soul, there's a watching you, every step that you take, this great eye is away. There's an eye watching you,
whoa,
watching you, it's watching you. Every day, mind the course you pursue. It's watching you, it's watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. As you make life's great flight, keep the pathway upright. There's an eye,
oh, there's an eye
watching you. God will warn not to go in the path,
in the path of the fool.
There's an eye,
oh,
it's watching you.
Watching you,
watching you, it's watching you. Every day, mind the course you pursue.
Whoa.
Watching you, watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Fix your mind on the goal, the sweet home of the soul. There's an eye, it's watching you.
Hallelujah.
Never turn from the way to the kingdom of day. There's an eye,
oh, there's an eye
watching you.
Whoa.
It's watching you, it's watching you. Every day watching you, watching you. There's a new Sinai watching,
watching you,
watching you. He's watching you.
Every day, mind the course to pursue.
Watching you,
watching you,
watching you. There's an old Sinai watching you.
Let's bow our heads. Friends, in the simplicity of things today, what would we say about the message? We say that Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the Jews and then he blinded them so that you and I could have a chance to recognize the greatness of what he's done for us. But now the Gentile days are coming to an end, and very soon he's going to reveal the truth of who he is to those Jews. That's why they've gathered in their homeland. That's why there's such a persecution upon them. Because the devil knows that God is going to return back to them. Friend, but before he goes to them, why don't you just call him on the scene and say, Jesus, before you bring grace to them, come and visit my soul once again. If you don't know Jesus, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not a believer, now's the opportunity. You may not know how to pray. Just call upon his name. Just say, Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. If you need revival in your soul, say, Lord, revive me. Whatever it is that you need, if you need forgiveness, just say, Lord, forgive me. And he sees the heart. Let's all enter into a time of prayer. Let's put ourselves before the Lord before we close. Let's all pray. Father, each and every one of us, Lord, we want to look unto thee once again upon this day to bring ourselves before thee at this time, asking for your grace and asking for your mercy even upon this afternoon. I pray for each and every brother. Pray for
your love, for the Holy Ghost, Father. Touch us, Lord. Ready, Father, Lord God, quench our taste no more of you, Father. Oh, increase us, Lord, spiritually, Father. And not just be ready, Father. Direct our path, Lord God. Oh, yes, Lord, we pray, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Let's sing that song that Brother Lamech was singing there just as we close in prayer. Praise awaits thee in Zion, O Lord. Isn't that wonderful? There's a spiritual Zion, friends, and we're giving him praise today, but there's praise waiting him in Zion. For the Redeemer shall return unto Zion, Paul said, and take away ungodliness from Jacob. But friends, let's enjoy the blessings while we can before they cross over. Let's sing that song. Praise awaits thee in Zion.
Praise awaits you in Zion, O Lord.
Praise awaits you, Lord.
Praise awaits you in Zion, O Lord. To you our vows will all be fulfilled. Praise awaits. Oh Lord, you hear our prayer.
Oh Lord, you listen.
Oh Lord, you listen to our cries. To you, oh man, will direct your ways. Praise our way. You in Zion,
oh Lord.
So we lift the name of Jesus, oh the way, Messiah, Prince of Peace, the Lord, the way, and our love will grow stronger.
Jesus,
hold the way,
Today, that blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Father, how glad that we are able to say that today, that blessed indeed is he that has come in the name of the Lord. Father, others don't recognize that, but Father, your grace has opened our understanding.
Hallelujah.
That we recognize who you are, that you are the Prince of Peace, that you are the Lord of life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the resurrection and the life. And Father, you can take everything else from us and just give us one thing, Lord. And that is just a deeper revelation of Jesus Christ. Father, that's all that satisfies our souls ever since we met you, is the revelation of who you are. Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of your word upon this day. May you please bless your servant. Bless him with your richest blessings, I pray. Father, as we go up this evening to Scarver, by your grace, I pray that your hand would be upon Brother George once again. I pray that you would guide him and lead him. I pray that you would give him words to say, an unction as he would speak. I pray that you would minister grace to the souls of them that would hear the word upon this day. And to us that have been here upon this day, Father, you know the hearts of every man. There's nothing that is hidden from you. You know where we are. Father, to them that do not know you, Father, to them that are caught up in tradition, or caught up in man-made religion, caught up in paganism or heathenism or whatever it would be, Father, religion without a life in it, the life of Jesus Christ. I would pray, Father, that you would grant the greatest of all blessings, that you would visit every soul. Father, that there might be a from that time, that Jesus people might be able to say, from that time I was never the same. Something happened to me at that time. Jesus, we sing about him in this song that he touched me. Father, let it be so. Father, it's beyond the realms of mortality. And it's in the realm of the supernatural, Father, that we call to at this time. And just ask that you touch every soul, to our brothers and our sisters, every single one of us. Revive your people. Touch your people. Quicken your people at this time. And lead us, Lord, that you may glorify your name in this season, we pray. And in this season, Lord, of the foolishness of football, I would ask and pray, Father, that you just bring a spirit of conviction upon your sons, Lord Jesus, that should be caught up in these things, Lord. Father, may they look at themselves in the mirror of the word.
Hallelujah.
And recognize that if you were here, Jesus, you would have nothing to do with those kind of things. And help us, Lord, to be found doing that which would be pleased with if you would come at that moment, we'd pray.
Amen.
So help us, Lord, I ask, and bless your people, bless your musicians, bless every officer, Lord. You know, the needs that we have. Thank you for our brother Mache coming back once again. I pray that you'd revive him and restore him. I pray, Jesus, you'd be his portion and the portion of his household, Lord. Bless him, I pray. Bless us as we depart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Friends, just to say to Brother George to please take greetings back for us to his church in Pretoria. And like I said, whenever the brother's passing by, how wonderful it would be if you just remember us in our little corner of the vineyard here. Right on the extremities of Europe. But it's wonderful that the Lord sends his servants our way. So we really do appreciate his ministry. We appreciate him, the fellowship we've had. We appreciate everything that the Lord has done for us through our brother. May the Lord be with him as he ministers this evening. So saints, let's go with God's blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Touch your people once again with your precious holy hands. We pray, may your kingdom shine upon this earth to a living glorious Christian, not for temporary need.
We need wisdom, we need power, true love for each other. Oh, we have come to many big and empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Take your people to a state of fruitful life. Restore your church again. Oh, touch your people.
Touch your people once again.
Oh,
bring your precious holy hands. We pray, may your kingdom shine upon this earth.